Welcome back to The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. You know, when you watch one of those Hollywood action movies with the drug agents, they swoop in and they make a big-time drug bust. The cinema cliche is to have one of the ranking Hollywood agents, you know, the star, pull out a knife, cut into the packet, and get a small sample of the white drug and then taste it and say, "That's pure cocaine. Book 'em, Dano." But in real life, the law enforcement, they don't taste the drugs. What they do is they take out a little test tube and they drop a sprinkle of the drugs into the little clear liquid and they watch it turn blue. And then they say, "Pure cocaine, book 'em, Dano." But how reliable actually is that test? And what happens when it's not used on drug cartels with big shipments of drugs, but everyday people who have nothing to do with illegal drug trafficking? Sometimes those people get caught up into a web of the legal system that can destroy their lives. And according to Ryan Gabrielson, who writes about the U.S. judicial system for ProPublica, that little test is frequently wrong and has destroyed lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans. And Ryan, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
Our phone lines are open. We invite you into our conversation. If you know about these tests or about what this has done to your life or friends of family members of yours, give us a call, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So, Ryan, how widespread are these little testing test tube things?
Well, the field tests for drugs that police use they're fairly ubiquitous. They are the primary source of evidence in drug possession cases from one end of the country to the other. In drug possession cases, basically the crime is just, you know, you have on you or in your car or somehow in your possession an illegal substance that a legislature has said, you know, people can't have. And, you know, the only way that they can prove the crime is to show that the substance is said drug. You know, officers have struggled with this for a long time, ever since really sort of we entered the prohibition era the past 100 years. You have to be able to establish, you know, the substance that I found on the person isn't an innocent substance. It is cocaine or it is heroin or it is marijuana. And the officers, you know, preferred to be able to get a sense of whether or not it is that before, you know, right before they make an arrest, rather than, you know, have to send it off to a lab and then later on maybe find out that it's a drug or not. You know, police officers are trained to, you know, find evidence of a crime and make an arrest for the person committing that crime. And field tests really feed right into that.
So there's a lot riding on whether that solution turns blue or not, and that it's not just going to turn blue on cocaine. There are other things that are inert in our society, harmless items that are everywhere, that can actually turn that solution blue.
That's correct. So in the example we're talking about here is for cocaine, the most typical active ingredient is called cobalt thiocyanide. It's a pink solution that with cocaine produces some form of a blue color. There's more than 80 different substances that have been documented that also produce a blue in cobalt thiocyanide. Sometimes, you know, kitchen cleaning products, some laundry detergents, acne medication. We found a migraine, a prescription migraine medicine that does so as well. And that's true for a lot of these field tests. The color tests were once believed to be, you know, confirmatory. I mean, in the early days of chemistry in the 1900s, lab chemists would use them as a way of deducing, you know, all kinds of bodily fluids, what was in them, what kind of compounds were in medicines and the like. And so eventually we learned with the invention of advanced instrumentation that color tests don't actually in any way confirm one substance versus another. All they do is give an indication of the presence of a certain collection of molecules or not. I mean, sometimes there's multiple compounds in a sample, and they interfere with each other in the chemical reaction. What the colors are the product of a chemical reaction, the sample of alleged drugs interacting with, you know, strong acids or bases in these pouches, producing a color. Now, the color might be because, hey, it's cocaine or, hey, it's heroin. It also might be because there's some other collection of molecules that also produces a green or a blue or an orange.
But that little fact that the drug test is not absolute, and sometimes gets lost in the practice of law enforcement. People get swept into, being busted. They get pulled over, as you write in your story, proof negative for ProPublica, that people like in Harris County, across Texas, it happens frequently. People get swept in because they get tested and they get the blue solution. And next thing you know, they've got a one-way ticket to Palooka Town with the county jail.
And one of the things that we learned, and I should mention my reporting partner, Topher Sanders, who worked hand-in-hand with me, we found out that police officers themselves aren't often told the limitations of the evidence they're using. The field test packaging doesn't list the possibility of false positives, even though as going back decades, the Justice Department through the National Institute of Justice has said clearly in standards for field tests, you need to print statements that say that these can produce false positives, false negatives, and that everything needs to go to a crime lab for confirmatory analysis. All the leading manufacturers of field tests have, until very, very recently, flatly ignored that. They haven't mentioned false positives. They've made statements that suggest the tests are confirmatory. And if officers don't know that they can be wrong, they're not going to be suspicious of them. Beyond that, they are inherently subjective. They are a test that is purely based on what a human being sees, what color they see, and people see colors differently. Officers are assessing what's happening in a pouch, sometimes late at night, sometimes by flashlight, There's confirmation bias that comes into play as well when you suspect somebody and you're poised to make an arrest and you in your mind are probably convinced that they have committed the crime. That can affect what you see in the test.
But if the law enforcement officer who are trained individuals, they've gotten a degree in law enforcement and other things, they don't know this. What about the Joe Schmuck on the street who just got pulled over by the law enforcement? We never even had any contact with the legal system. They don't know this at all.
Absolutely. They know even less. They are told that the substance they had on them tested positive for drugs. And it's true, in many cases in Harris County, the people who were wrongfully convicted on this, on the cases we're writing about, had priors involving drugs. That's the majority. But a significant minority, and we found it was 24%, did not. So it's not that there aren't, drug addicts and people who were unintentionally innocent, so to speak, but there are many people who flat out, had no intention of having drugs. There was a substance in their car that a police officer decided was suspicious or decided was nefarious, field tested, and we have to rely on what they put in their report, and they say it field tested positive.
And if they don't have a good defense attorney, they are in trouble. They're being told to plead out.
That's true. I mean, that's really, and that was sort of the entry point for the story for me as a reporter. I was looking at the ubiquity of plea deals.
Okay, I'm going to talk about that. I want you to tell me that story when we come back from this break. Also, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how frequently this chemical test is used here in Bexar County. And I want you to call in if you got a question or a comment. We want to hear from you. 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have had their lives thrown upside down and rocked inside out because of a little chemical test that police officers use to look for cocaine. That $2 test has a history of giving false positives and is misunderstood by the cops and the courts. That means people who get busted because of that drug detection thing sometimes are on a slow boat to China. What are we doing about that? Here in Bexar County, we check to see if that substance is being used, if that field test is used. And according to Bexar County Criminal District Attorney's Office, they emailed a reply for specific procedures or methods used in a presumptive drug test. Please contact law enforcement, and our office does not rely solely on presumptive drug test. We do not indict or plea a case without a confirmation report from the Bexar County Crime Lab. From the Bexar County Sheriff's Office, ours has the reactive chemical cobalt cyanate, that's what you talk writing about, And also, SAPD says they believe that that chemical is in their kits. So with me to talk about this is Ryan Gabrielson. He's with the ProPublica, and he wrote an extensive article about it. And so, Ryan, when you see that our local law enforcement, they believe that this chemical is being used in their field test, that means that it's probably that we're just getting some false positives here as well.
Well, there's almost no question that if police are field testing for cocaine, the field test almost without a doubt includes cobalt thiocyanate. Now, there's other steps in that test, other chemicals that can reduce the incidence of false positives, but sometimes they produce their own false positives. No matter what, these are tests that are where a human being with is judging what color they see, and so there's quite a bit of room for error. So if I understood correctly, the district attorney's office is saying that they do not accept guilty pleas based without a confirmatory test.
Without a confirmation report from the Bexar County Crime Lab. And is the Bexar County Crime Lab, are they going to use some sort of spectrometer to try to break down these chemicals even more precisely, or is it they're just using the same test?
I can't speak specifically for that lab, but I would imagine, especially for a jurisdiction as large as Bexar County, they are going to be using advanced analysis. They're going to be using gas chromatography, mass spectrometry, which is, there's no testing system that is completely 100% infallible, but GCMS is considered the gold standard, and it gives you, field tests don't produce any data or structural information. GCMS produces a significant amount of detail about the number of compounds that are in a sample, and produces a mass spectrum that shows the character. I would describe it in the story as a fingerprint. It's not a perfect fingerprint that's exclusive to just one thing necessarily, but for the most part, the second part of that test will give you a very reliable confirmation of what substance you're looking at, and it'll match it up against an array of different possible matches inside a large crime lab database.
But you write extensively about Harris County in your article, and there are people who have pled guilty to possession of cocaine due to the presence detected in these tests.
Yeah, no, there was a study funded by the Justice Department in 2011 with the firm RTI, looking at basically the processing of analysis of drug samples in criminal cases, and it found that 9 out of 10 jurisdictions allowed guilty pleas and grand jury indictments based on field tests alone.
All right, let's go
So Bexar County's stance is actually, sort of out of the ordinary, in a progressive way.
All right, something to be proud of. Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. John has called in. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. And my question is that my understanding is in using that field test, there has to be either probable cause or some type of warrant or order from a magistrate. The police just can't go around, taking things out of your car because you ran a traffic light and testing them for cocaine. So the question is how many of these cases are done when there isn't any other type of probable cause for drug use or that the stop was initiated for something else?
All right, John, thank you for the call. And Ryan?
That's an excellent question. So in a lot of traffic stop scenarios, if there are circumstances where a certain type of violation, say somebody who's driving without a license, that might provide some type of cause to get into a vehicle and look. But most often, they don't need that because they get a consent. They ask the driver or the owner of the car for consent to search, and the person gives it. There have been a couple of different studies in different states. Illinois is one of them that looked at, at what rate do people, grant consent, and it's over 90%, and it's across, gender, racial groups. Almost everybody says yes when police ask. And if you don't say yes, especially in a traffic stop, they can, if they have one available, they can bring out a drug dog. And if a drug dog signals to an officer that they detect illegal drugs, then that is probable cause for a search.
You know, but there have been people who have raised concerns about this drug dog use and what constitutes a hit by the drug dog on the car, and whether that requires the interpretation of the dog handling officer. And sometimes dogs have been trained to give fake hits, and also the dog officer can say, oh, he's hitting on your trunk, when the dog is not. It is interpretive, and that is also an area to be explored.
Yeah, it's subjective, and sometimes these dogs are trained on material just to detect illegal drugs based on materials that field tested one way but may not have actually been.
Right. Let's get another caller on the air, Sam. Hi, Sam. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. It's a great topic. I wanted to bring up one thing that's more of a comment than anything else, is that I've seen the figures on civil forfeiture, how much that adds to the bottom line of a lot of the DAs, a lot of the police departments, a lot of the sheriff's departments, especially in small towns. And to me, that's an incentive to use a bad test, because they're actually funding their operations. And I'll just kind of hang up and listen to your comments off the air.
All right, Sam, thanks for the call. And so, Ryan.
Certainly, civil forfeiture has been a significant source of resources for law enforcement. I didn't see any evidence that officers were, you know, intentionally using faulty tests. Now, in some cases, law enforcement was aware that they were presumptive and you know, not guaranteed reliable. But in the most part, officers were surprised that this wasn't a guarantee when they saw blue or green or red or orange or purple, that's what what they'd been told it means. It's in terms of the larger idea of a conspiracy, I can't speak to that. I didn't find any evidence of that. I think for the most part, law enforcement is trying to do a job that they believe helps, and I think that they're trying to prevent, you know, people from having illegal drugs out, just like the law says that they're supposed to. But they're doing it with something that is not what it seems. It's certainly not what it's supposed to be for this kind of a job. It's not up to the task of identifying drugs. It can't be relied upon. There have been several studies published, especially in the 1960s and 70s, when field testing was really starting to take off, that cautioned, you know, these color tests should not be used for positive identification of illegal drugs. They're not capable of the task.
Well, what about labeling on the individual drug pouches? Does it say it on there that this is not supposed to be the last word on whether or not the substance has cocaine in it?
No. So it is beginning, I should say, within the past couple of weeks, after we presented our findings to some of the manufacturers, one of them, Searchy, maker of the NARC 2 line of tests, which is very popular with law enforcement, completely overhauled its packaging to include a warning that in all caps with exclamation point at the end, all results should be confirmed by an analytical laboratory. That's brand new. For the previous, you know, what was it, 3 or 4 decades, there's been no such warning. The two of the brands are owned by a company called Safariland Group. Those are the NIC and ODV Narco Pouch. Those don't contain warnings on their packaging, the stuff that officers are most likely to see. They do have extensive training materials that are explicit about the possibility of false positives, the potential for confirmation bias and all that. But, you know, based on what our reporting has found, officers don't commonly see those materials. They don't go through that kind of a training process. And some agencies don't have any formal training at all.
Well, what about, public defenders and people, you know, who are supposed to be fighting for the rights of those in court? Do they know about this?
So the public, higher-level public defenders in big cities, that we interviewed for the most part, said that they were aware of the fallibility of the test. It doesn't appear, at least in the numbers, to have translated it into a huge number of challenges where, you know, the defendants say, forget that, I'm pleading not guilty, and we're going to go to trial, and we're going to get a lab report.
The test should not be admissible as evidence.
Well, they're not admissible as at trial. So there's two stages here. There's the trial, which has all these built-in protections, and standards for the admissibility of scientific evidence that do not, or not at least currently applied, pretrial, which is where, you know, well over 90% of convictions take place at the guilty plea stage.
And then, but so I guess people should know, you know, more citizens should know about what their rights are and not to believe any of these tests, you know, off on face value, particularly if you know you're innocent.
Yeah, certainly if you don't believe that you've had illegal drugs, that if you believe that this is a mistake and that there was a field test and it said positive, but you're certain you did not, that whatever they were testing was not an illegal drug, you should absolutely, you know, I'm not an attorney and I don't give legal advice and this shouldn't constitute that.
Right.
But you should not plead guilty.
All right.
You should get a lab report.
All right, and get a good attorney. Ryan Gableson, thank you so much. He writes about the U.S. justice system for ProPublica. Great article. Appreciate you coming on. And this is The Source on KSTX.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Paul Flav and David Martin Davies. Our engineer is Doug DeMore. Management and oversight provided by News Director Shelley Koffler and VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation and the GAC Health Foundation.
This week on Texas Matters, a look at conservation ecology across the state. Texans have worked hard to conserve the state's natural resources, but there are many areas that are endangered because of urban growth, toxic emissions, invasive species, climate change, and more. The Texas Landscape Project shows us the trouble spots in Texas. That's on Texas Matters, Friday at 3:30 on KSTX.